The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter number 14, Text number 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 15th, 2010, in Durban, South Africa.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 14, Lord Krishna explains the yoga system. Text 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Te Vasudevaya.
Om namo Vasudevaya.
Yatha Agni Susamridha Archi Koroti Edamshi Basmasat Tatha Mat Vishaya Bhakti Udava Enansi Krishnasha Yathagni Su Samriddharchi Karot Ye Dangshi Basmasat Tathamadvishaya Bhaktir Udavai Nangshi Krishnasha Yathagni Su Samriddharchi Karot Ye Dangshi Bhasmasat Tathamadvishaya Bhaktir Udavai Nangshi Krishna Shaha Yathagni Su Samriddharchi Karotye Dangshi Basmasat Tathamadvishaya Bhaktir Udavai Nangshi Krishna Shaha Yatha, just as Agni, fire, Susamritha, blazing, Archi, whose flames, Koroti, turns, Edhangsi, firewood, Basmasat, into ashes. Tata, similarly, mat vishaya, with me as the object, bhakti, devotion, udhava, O udhava, edhang, enangshi, sins, krishnasha, completely. Translation and purport by the followers of the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. Purport. One should carefully note that the Lord refers to devotion that is like a blazing fire. To commit sinful activity on the strength of chanting the holy name is the greatest offense. And the devotion of one who commits this offense cannot be compared to a blazing fire of love for Krishna. As stated in the previous verse, a sincere loving devotee, because of immaturity or previous bad habits, may be disturbed by his senses, even though he has accepted Lord Krishna as the only goal in his life. But even if by chance the devotee accidentally falls down without premeditation or indifference, the Lord immediately burns to ashes his sinful reactions, just as a blazing fire immediately consumes an insignificant piece of wood. Lord Krishna is glorious, and one who takes exclusive shelter of the Lord receives the unique benefits of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajiva. Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, if it were not for Krishna's mercy, what would be our chance of making it? Not very good chance of making it. Even though we are contaminated in so many ways, even though we know Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal, still we are infected by so much lust, so much anger, so much greed, so much madness, illusion, and envy. Even though we are so contaminated, what did Prabhupada say? He said, my disciples, they're just like coal. No matter how much you wash them, they're still dirty. So us poor, dirty like, coal-like devotees, what is the hope? This is the hope, described here by Krishna to Uddhava. By the fire of bhakti, all of that dirt, all of that contamination, all that crud accumulated over thousands and millions of lifetimes can be burned away. The pure self is there beneath all of that crud. The Mayavadi, he wants to burn away the impurities and have nothing left. But for the Vaishnava, he wants to burn away those impurities and have the awakening of his original divine self, spiritual self, Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Dav. The devotees do not want to negate their existence. Even the very conception of liberation is detestable and disgusting for them. Because if one merges into Brahman, where is the love? As Prabhupada always used to say, love means two, Krishna and you. If I merge into God, how I can love God? It's not possible. Vasa means there must be two. Vasa means loving exchange. Rasa also means taste. If there is no exchange of love, there is no rasa, there is no taste. Therefore, the Mayavadi philosophy is rasaless philosophy. There is no rasa, no taste, no loving exchange. So we are not interested in such philosophies. Their philosophy is to become God by merging, but our philosophy is become greater than God, actually. The devotee, by love, becomes greater than God. Now we can say that? That sounds a little blasphemous. But no, it's true. Krishna is ajita, he is unconquerable, you see. But he becomes jita or conquered by his devotee's love. It's like Yashoda. She is chasing Krishna with her whipping stick. Or Arjuna, you see. Krishna is his chariot driver, you see. So Krishna, out of love, agrees to become the subordinate servant of his devotee. Some may say, well, how is that? I can't understand why God would want to do that. I mean, why would he want to come down? It must feel really good to be God. I mean, why would he want to come down and be a servant? But Prabhupada gives a very nice example in this connection. During the heyday of the British Empire, Queen Victoria's days, there was one Prime Minister Gladstone. So one big man, he had an appointment with the Prime Minister. So he's come to the office and he's in the waiting room outside of Prime Minister Gladstone's office. And he's waiting. 10 minutes goes by, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. What's going on in that office? Why is he not seeing me at the appointed time? So this gentleman's curiosity finally got the best of him. It's the old-fashioned keyhole where you can peep through the keyhole, you see. So he finally got up and he peeped through that keyhole. And what did he see? There was Prime Minister Gladstone crawling around on the floor with his grandson on his back. And grandson was going, "Giddy up, giddy up." He was finding more pleasure in being the horse for his grandson than he was being the Prime Minister of the... At that time, the sun that never set in the British Empire, you see, the big, big Prime Minister of the huge British Empire. That was not so interesting. But being the horse for his little grandson, that was very interesting to him. So, just from Prime Minister Gladstone, every one of us actually, every jiva, he is a tiny sample of God. Just as a drop of ocean water is a sample of the entire ocean, by analyzing the chemical composition of one drop of water, you can understand the chemical composition of the entire ocean. So, analyzing the psychology of Prime Minister Gladstone, we can see how that same tendency is there in God. In this fact, he takes more pleasure in being chastised by his devotees than he does being the supreme controller. He takes more pleasure being controlled by his devotees than he does in being the supreme controller. So this Vaishnava philosophy, this Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, it is the highest level understanding. We do not deny the other religious systems, because actually religion is one. There's no such thing as two religions. This idea of a plurality of religions is a man-made conception. Religion is one. You know where that word comes from? It comes from the Latin, religio, which means to relink. You see? So to relink with God, that is the process of religion. Now there are different yoga systems of linking or yoking. That word yoga, actually, the etymologists have described how the English word yoke is a etymological derivative of the Sanskrit word yoga. So to link or yoke are that with God, you see. Yoga and religion is the same thing. The same principle. Yoga means religion, religion means yoga. To relink or re-yoke with that supreme source of existence. That is religion. So, there are different systems of doing that, but the result varies. Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs the taiva bajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So, through the jnana system, one can reach the effulgence of the Lord, impersonal Brahman. But that is incomplete. It is, as I was explaining, it is a rasaless position. The perfection of yoga is love. So when religion becomes actually perfect and complete, that is love, love of God. So whether one is Christian, Hindu, Muslim, whatever they may be, if they have developed love for God, then that is first-class position. This Krishna consciousness movement is not introducing a new sect of religion. Well, there's the Christian church down the street and the Islamic temple down the street. Now we have the Hare Krishna temple on the block. So we'll have some ecumenical meetings to talk about our different religions. No, that's not our position. This is the perfection of the theistic science. So everyone can read Prabhupada's books. Just like in the U.S., there's one Baptist minister. He was reading Prabhupada's books and he was convinced. So, he would give his Sunday sermon taking Prabhupada's teachings but putting it in Christian terms. He used to send me copies of his sermon. They write the sermon. You see, in Krishna consciousness, we just start talking. But the Christians, they have to write it all down ahead of time and they read their sermon, their Sunday sermon. That's the difference. There's one difference I noticed between Krishna consciousness and the Christian church I went to. Our pastor, he would struggle the whole week. He'd have a whole library of books. He'd be there smoking his pipe, you know, with his big legal pad, struggling for hours, day after day, to write that Sunday sermon. You get up there and read it, and it was so dry, you just go to sleep. You see, there was no juice. But in our Krishna consciousness movement, how many devotees, you know, before they give class, they spend hours, you know, agonizing over every paragraph. They just look at the purport, and they just speak their realizations. You see, because here's their actual life. We're actually connecting with God. Krishna, within the heart, just like one devotee, he wrote one song. He said, if you simply go out on some kirtan, Krishna will tell you what to say. You see? Krishna will give you the words, how to approach the people, how to give the books, how to convince them to take the book. Just get out there and Krishna will take over and say, okay, do this, say this, and this way. You see? So the same thing when we give classes. You see? We connect with Krishna. We simply try to act as humble servants of this unlimitedly wonderful, sublime message of Krishna consciousness, which has the power, the potency to deliver every living entity throughout the entire material existence. That is the power of these teachings. They're so sweet, they're so sublime. Machchita mangata prana bodhiyantak parasparam katiyantaschamam nityam tashyanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is our pleasure pastime, you see. Krishna. You wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna. You go to the shower, Hare Krishna. Brush your teeth, Hare Krishna. Shave your face, Hare Krishna. Put on your dhoti, your sari, Hare Krishna. You see? Everything, all day long, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And what will you dream at night? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then they leave your body, you see, then you immediately go to Krishna, you see. Punarjanmana vidyate. They never take birth again, you see. They get out of this rat hole, material existence, you see. It's such a wonderful thing, this Krishna's mercy, he's just pulling us out, saving us from the sinking ship. This material world is like the Titanic. That famous Titanic ship, you see. Everyone thought, oh, it's such a wonderful thing, you see. We have wonderful orchestra playing in the ballroom, beautiful chandeliers, wonderful dining room, beautiful staterooms, everything first class, you see. The Titanic, fully ultra wealthy, you see. We're enjoying the maiden voyage of the Titanic across the Atlantic Ocean, you see. But as soon as it hit that iceberg, boom, everything finished, you see. Everything finished. So we're thinking, oh, we have a very nice civilization, you see. We have so many modern inventions. We can enjoy life in so many ways. Jet planes, iPhones, computers, so many things. But actually, at any moment, death will come, just like that iceberg will come and boom, finished, you see. So how much we cultivated Krishna consciousness? That will be tested. How much will we serious to develop pure bhakti within our hearts? That will be tested. Was I doing my devotional service for name and fame? To be recognized as a big singer or a big preacher? Is it? What was the motive of my devotional service? Was I sincerely doing it to please my spiritual master in Krishna? Was I humble? You see, all of these things will be tested. Prabhupada warned us, I remember in Los Angeles, in regard to the deity worship, he said, don't be puffed up. That is our tendency, to be puffed up. Yes, I am great. You see, I know some shlokas, I can do a kirtan, I can distribute books, I can do this, I am great, you see. That is our tendency to become puffed up. So we have to be very careful not to become bhaktam. Always remember, I am simply rascal, insignificant rascal, that's all. Is that one devotee, he wanted to show Prabhupada how humble he was. He wrote a letter, he said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So it's sometimes not easy to develop humility, you see. We become proud. Oh, I'm very humble. So we have to take very good instruction from great acharyas like Bhaktivedanta Thakur, Gopinath, Mamani Veduna Shuno Vishaya. In this way, he's presenting himself. I'm simply a rascal, demon. I have no good qualities, you see. Of course, the materialists would say, well, if you feel that way, I mean, you're going to become demoralized. How you will have no enthusiasm? How you'll be able to do anything? I mean, if you're humble, people just step on you. You know, you can never get ahead in the world. So better don't cultivate this humility. It's not very... It's a negative emotion. That's what the psychologist would say. You have to be proud, you know. But actually, we are proud. Not of ourselves, but we're proud of who we're serving, you see. We're proud of our Srila Prabhupada. We're proud of this movement. We are proud, but not of our personal selves. We're proud of the heritage that we represent. And therefore, as Prabhupada told us, actually, from Africa, he wrote. I think it was in Nairobi he was preaching. But he said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Someone may say, well, how is it possible you can be very humble thinking you're lower than the straw in the street and at the same time act like a king? It seems to be completely contradictory. But no, it's not. Just like Hanuman, he's a very humble servant of Lord Ram. But when he's dealing with Ravan, he completely burns the whole city down, you see. So, we are very humble servants of our spiritual masters, of Krishna, of Srila Prabhupada. We're very, very humble servants. When it comes to facing the material civilization, the material society, we are ready to defeat everyone. Show how their entire civilization is nonsense. Their exploitative, sense-gratificatory civilization which is presently destroying the entire atmosphere on this planet. The whole thing is based on greed, lust, power, control, domination. Completely exploitative mentality. And it's simply destroying everything. Why? Because they're not in harmony with the source of existence. They're trying to think, yes, I am God. We will conquer over death by scientific advancement. They're trying to play God. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal, that it has no cause other than lust. They say it is produced of sex desire. They say there's no God in control, you see, with no foundation. And these are the people who are leading the society right now. They're the powerful people, like this Dr. Hawking's.
Oh, Krishna.
You see? He says the universe comes out of absolutely nothing.
Hare Krishna.
And he's celebrated as the biggest intellectual, the biggest brain on the planet. You see? And the presidents and the prime ministers, they honor him as a great cutting-edge leading intellectual. You see? I call him Dr. He Hawkings, you know, like an ass. Hee-haw, hee-haw, He Hawkings. When he brays like an ass, everyone applauds. Oh, Dr. Hawkings, very nice. With his little synthesized, computer-generated voice. Of course, I admire him for his tenacity in spite of his handicap. I mean, on a personal level, I admire the person. But it's just, you know, on a personal level, I think he's an, I admire him very much for being so powerful and influential, even though he's in such a handicapped position. But the philosophy, that is what I'm speaking against. The person, I admire him actually for his strength, his determination. But the philosophy is completely ridiculous, and that's what I criticize, his philosophy. Actually, we try to respect everyone, even though they may be wrong. They are part and parcel of Krishna. We want to respect them also. They are God's parts and parcels. Even a little ant is respectable. So even the demoniac philosophers, we respect them as Krishna's parts and parcels. But their philosophy, that we are attacking. Actually, that is what we are attacking, their philosophy. We have to attack that philosophy, because that philosophy is misguiding the entire human civilization. We have to establish Vaishnava philosophy. In other words, we have to establish what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita as the principle on which the entire civilization is based. This is the Vedic system. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidu. You see, this knowledge was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. The saintly kings understood it in that way. In other words, this was the leaders, what the leaders studied. The leaders of the society, under the guidance of the brahmanas, the kings studied the Bhagavad Gita. They based their management of the society on the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So this we must establish. We must re-establish the human society governed according to the principles of Bhagavad Gita. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we are successful. So we want to distribute books like anything, like a tidal wave of mercy flooding every town and village. We want to do Harinam Sankirtan like a tidal wave of mercy flooding every town and village. We want to cultivate people like anything, train them how to become Krishna conscious. Show them, all right, now you have the books, now here's how to become, how to live the books with your every thought, word and deed, in all times, all places, in all circumstances, you see. We want to teach them how, now you have the book, now here's how to live the book. Actually, if you live the book, then you live in the book. A devotee who completely purifies his existence, he lives within the Bhagavatam. That is stated, there are two types of Bhagavatam. There's the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. You see, the person Bhagavatam means that person whose very life is Bhagavatam. His every thought is Bhagavatam. His every word is Bhagavatam. His every action is Bhagavatam. He is living in the pages of the Bhagavatam 24 hours a day. You see? So, that is our duty, to learn how to do that. How to become pure Vaishnavas, fixed up Vaishnavas, who are living this philosophy perfectly, with every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. The more that we can do that, the more this movement will attract everyone throughout the whole planet. It's a fact. If one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can attract the whole world. Isn't that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3:21? Yad yad acharati shreshtas tattareve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastha danuvaritate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, if we can conquer the qualities, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, we can actually become Goswamis, you see, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. If we can bring these pushings completely under control and actually become genuine Goswamis, then the whole world will be attracted to the leadership that this movement will provide for them, you see. So it's not only for our benefit that we want to bring our senses under control. It is for the benefit of all living entities all over the world, you see. They will benefit. The more we become fixed up, the more they will become attracted to this process. If we remain karma mishra bhakta, well, I chant Hare Krishna, but I got so many material desires and, you know, I kind of do both. They will not have the same effect. That doesn't mean you cannot act for Krishna. If you have a desire to act in a certain way, do that and offer the result of Krishna. That is all right. The key is offer the result to Krishna. Prabhupada said a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. You see? There's nothing wrong to want to be successful in any field of activity. But the key is you offer the result to Krishna. If you have an inclination to act in a certain way, do that. But do it for Krishna. Don't do it for your sense gratification. That's the key. That, to act in a certain way, have a proclivity to act, there's natural thing. Nothing wrong. But what you do, the result, that will make you or break you. If you try to take the result for yourself, then you will fall down. We have big, big leaders in our movement, big sannyasis, gurus, GBCs. There was some contamination in the heart. They were acting for their own enjoyment, and they were finished. You see, they didn't get free of that tendency to act for themselves, to want to enjoy the fruit of their work for themselves. And that finished them. So we have to be very careful that whatever comes as a result of my service, whatever comes as a result of my preaching, that is for Krishna, it's not for me. That should all be offered to Krishna. And if we have that mood, Krishna will give us more. As Tamal Krishna Goswami used to say, that Prabhupada told him, actually, he always told this story, how in San Francisco Prabhupada had said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it? You see, as long as we have the tendency to want to enjoy, even a slight tendency to enjoy this material world, then Krishna cannot give us the world. Because we'll take advantage, you see. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhajagadisha kama, you see. Those are the attractive things. Wealth, women and followers. These are attractive things. Now what happens if one gets huge quantity of wealth, huge quantity of followers, and a huge quantity of female followers also? And one is not pure, you see. Then you can fall down easily. So we have to cultivate that mood, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. I simply want pure devotional service, birth after birth. That mood we must cultivate. And then, to the extent that we actually cultivate that mood, you see, Krishna will give us everything. As he explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborated on that shloka. He said, Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you're needing. Can you imagine? Krishna becomes your DHL delivery man, whatever you need. But that Prabhupada said like that. Krishna delivers to your door whatever you're needing. So one may say, well, he's not coming to my door. I'm a devotee, what's going on? Well, it's stated very clearly there, the one who worships me with exclusive devotion. Now what does exclusive devotion mean? I worship Krishna and exclude everyone else. 100% of my love is for Krishna. 100%. And they said, but if I do that, I'll be neglecting my friends, my family members. I mean, how can I give 100% of my love to Krishna? What about my wife or my husband or my kids or my god brothers, my god sisters? If I give all of my love to Krishna, then certainly I'd be offensive, wouldn't I? But no. The old example, when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So actually, when you give your love 100% to Krishna, you are channeling your love through Krishna to all living entities throughout the entire existence. When you become the completely sold out lover of God, then you're loving every single living entity perfectly throughout all of existence, yourself included. So, to come to this point of exclusive devotion to Krishna, we are not the losers. We gain everything. Because it is a common psychology. It is commonly understood. The more you become a giving, loving person, the more you become happy. Just like in English, there's a nice connection between the words miser and miserable. The more you're a selfish, greedy miser, the more you're miserable. So it is commonly understood that the more you become a giving person, the more you become happy. But the trouble is, you try to give yourself in the material world, people step on you and exploit you. You get ripped off big time the more you try to give to everyone. That's what happened. That's why people get frustrated and they take to impersonal philosophy. They try to give their love and they get bit again and again and again. I gave my love and I was cheated. Therefore, love is a four-letter word. I don't want it anymore, you see. But Krishna consciousness is so nice that now we have a place we can give our love. We were suffering like anything in this material world because we had nowhere to give our love. Or we could actually get that reciprocation. That's why we were frustrated. That's why we were suffering. That's why we were so miserable. We had no place to give our love. But now we have that place. We can give our love to Krishna. And that love goes to everyone. It's universal love. And we get perfect reciprocation from Krishna. So, any questions? Yes. You can tell me what the question is, and with my deaf ears, you can be heard in my hearing aid and tell me my right ear what she said. He's gonna. You can sit down. Okay.
Krishna says that we should love him with exclusive devotion, but yet he is not giving his love exclusively to the gopis.
You think Krishna is not giving his love exclusively to the gopis? Krishna is giving unlimited exclusive love to every single one of his devotees. You may say, how is it possible? Because he has so many devotees, how he could give all of his love to one devotee? But actually, that is the omnipotent nature of the Supreme. Look at Dwarka, you see. That he has 16,108 queens, and every night he expands himself into 16,108 forms and gives himself completely and totally to each and every queen. And she's thinking, oh, I'm getting Krishna with these poor other queens, you see. Those poor 16,107 other queens. He's coming to my palace every night, you see. So that God is not limited like you and me, Mataji, you see. He can give himself completely to each and... He can give himself 100% to each and every devotee. The gopis, the gopas, the cows, the calves. The flute is also his devotee. Krishna is not limited. Yaidang paramangu yang madbhakteshva vidashipti bhaktam mayi parankritva mamme vaishatya sangshayaha. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. In the end, he will come back to me. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan me priya krittamaha pavitama chametasmad anyak priya tarobhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than will there ever be anyone more dear. So, that means that anyone, why only the gopis? Anyone who preaches this message of Krishna consciousness, they become the number one devotee of Krishna. You see, but there's thousands and millions of preachers, how each devotee who preaches could be Krishna's number one devotee, but that is the omnipotency of the Lord. That just as he gave himself completely, 100%, to each and every queen, as if she were the only queen in all of existence, in the same way, he can give himself 100% to each and every devotee that he has, as if that devotee got every single ounce of Krishna's love, and nobody else did. That is the omnipotency of Allah. In other words, you get to have your own personal Krishna. Every devotee gets their own personal Krishna, just like those queens did. It's not that you have to share Krishna, but actually, Krishna becomes your exclusive property. When you become completely sold out to Krishna, he becomes completely, totally sold out to you. You see, your personal property. You see. So don't be afraid that if I give to Krishna, then I'll have to wait for 10 million years. To get any of some reciprocation because he has so many devotees. You don't have to worry like them. You fully give yourself to Krishna and he guarantees, inasmuch as they surrender, I reward them. He will personally give you everything. If you give him all of your love, he will give you every ounce of his love. That's a fit. No, don't worry. You will get he won't cheat you. Question? Yeah, the right ear is the better, yeah.
comment, a question, please. The first comment I want to make when you were talking about the Mayavadi, the purseless being, I think you said, what is the word, tasteless? What did you
use? Rasaless.
Rasaless?
That Brahman realization is rasaless. Right. There's no taste yet.
I was... just thinking when Srila Prabhupada said that the impersonalist Mayavadis are like dry twigs. So,
yes.
You can see in their philosophy, it's like somebody that invites you to the house for a nice a meal, you know?
And there's an empty plate.
not the empty plate, there's the wonderful meal, and then everybody sits down to eat, and then they eat, and then they're, oh my goodness gracious, and there's no saltiness. So what's the use of cooking such a wonderful meal?
Well, Mayavadi is even worse than that, isn't it? It's even worse than that. I mean, there's no salt and there's nothing. It's an empty plate. It's even worse than a saltless dinner.
Yeah. And then the question I want to ask you, when you're talking about, you were saying that this world we're living in, this Mirtiloka world that we're living in, is like the Titanic, a sinking ship.
Yes, yes.
I was just thinking to myself now, sometimes in our devotional service, we're trying to go forward, our ship starts sinking too, ourselves. So my question is, how do you start rescuing your sinking ship? What is the process for, you know, when you feel that in Krishna consciousness things are becoming tasteless and dry and, you know, and...
Okay. When your devotional service ship is sinking, how to save yourself?
What is the process for getting back onto the top of the water?
That is a fact that sometimes devotees will have difficulty. In fact, it's a very common thing for devotees to have difficulties in their Krishna consciousness. So how do you protect yourself from falling down when those difficulties come? That the first point is, if you will continue to chant your 16 rounds, at least 16 rounds daily, and follow the regulative principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling, that will protect you. whatever your prescribed duty is, do it. Continue to do your duty, even though it may be painful, your mind may be disturbed. Just go ahead and do it. Ignore the mind. You see, the mind is the problem, not the external situation. It's the mind is the problem. When the mind starts flaring up and getting all bent out of shape, just very disturbed, you just have to ignore it and just keep doing the service. The mind is what will sink you. The service is not going to sink you. It's the mind. So you just have to go on. You say, okay, mind, you know, Bajahure Mana Sri Nandanandanam. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. You just have to ignore the mind, then you're okay. If you give the mind the power of eternity to dictate to you what you should do, then you're definitely going to fall down, Prabhu. But if you ignore the mind, say, mind, just, I'm going to tell you, I'm the boss from now on, not you. We're going to do devotional service, my dear mind, you and me. We're going to do devotional service now. Yeah, I don't care if you like it or not. You're coming along for the ride because I've decided to become a devotee, because it's my actual identity. I'm a devotee eternally. And you've been my enemy for millions of births, trying to keep me away from Krishna consciousness. Now, my dear mind, I've served you for millions of lifetimes. I've followed your dictation. Now we're shifting things around. And you're going to follow my dictation now, my dear mind. So in this way, the mind becomes a friend. And your mind becomes accustomed to hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna. Then your mind will no longer be a problem for you. Then you will be in no danger of thinking. But I'll give you a tip. Prabhupada told us in Boston, he said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So if Prabhupada is praying like that, what is our position? Whenever you feel you're in danger of falling down, Krishna, please protect me, I won't fall down. Please, Krishna, please. Like a child crying for the mother. Plead with the Lord. Just like somebody, some terrorists have captured you, they're going to get ready to cut off your head, right? And you say, please don't cut off my head. Allah Akbar. We're friends, brother. I believe in Allah. I worship Allah every day, my dear brother. Please don't cut off my head. You see, you're pleading with him. Please don't cut off my head. So, in the same desperate way, we would plead with the terrorists not to cut off our head. Even more intensity, we should beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please protect me that I do not fall down. My Lord, my mind is so disturbed. I'm so disturbed right now. I'm so afraid I may fall down and lose my Krishna consciousness. Please protect me, my Lord. Please protect me. In this way. If you're always in that mood of calling out to Krishna to save you, you will never fall down, I guarantee you. Never, ever fall down. Not in a million. Now you'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime. And you'll never come back again in this material world. So that's our time has run out. Because I have to get ready to go to the airport now. So we thank you very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. I'm so happy to see you all here serving Prabhupada's mission, serving your spiritual masters, serving your temple leaders here. I'm very, very happy that you're doing this wonderful service here. Please continue in this way. Your lives will become perfect and you can save this country from degradation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.